Pity time! McGloin! Litton! Anybody but Mahomes!
Tebow!
Bring in Tim Tebow! His hand's broken.
Bring him in anyway!
Bring in Kaepernick! Wait, what? Bring in...
Manziel!
Bring Johnny Manziel to Kansas City. Ooh, that's a good one. Good work, Beards. Welcome in the Chief Central here on Sports Radio 810. I'm Josh Briscoe, and I'm here to tell you that the Patrick Mahomes era sure was nice while it lasted, but we are now in the after. We are in the afterglow. The aftermath. The afterburners. After. I'm out of after things.
Afternoon.
We're in the afternoon. It is 2 o'clock right now. It's not. It's pretty late at night. But I'm happy to be here to talk about the Chiefs. And Patrick Mahomes is... disastrous day!
Oh, no!
Nightmare! Meltdown!
When will it end?
Implosion!
Help!
You know when it ended? Today. Because Patrick Mahomes can't play NFL football. Some of you have lost your damn minds. Patrick Mahomes kind of threw 3 interceptions today.
What? 3?
Kind not, but here's the thing.
That's 3 more than needed.
Here's the thing.
Bum!
You know how many picks Alex Smith threw today? Probably none. Bring him back! Send him Kendall Fuller! Take on his contract. Here's the thing. Here's why I'm even, like, hesitant to make all of the fun of the people who are saying anything about this, because I have to explain to you how much of a non-issue today is, and not because he's a young quarterback who can make some mistakes. That is not my rationalization. That is true, and we will eventually say that, but that's not what today is for. This is really early for audio. This is not all of Patrick Mahomes, but he spoke today at a training camp. Give me your attention for the next 90 seconds. Better yet, give Patrick Mahomes your attention for the next 90 seconds. Let him tell you what happened today. He was asked about this nightmarish 3 interception day, and then Patrick Mahomes went on to explain how 2 of those weren't really interceptions.
Pat, I want to ask you about another play from early in practice. The one looked like you could have run it in, and way ended up making the pick. What'd you see there, and why didn't you run it?
Yeah, I mean, that was on me. I easily could have ran it in. We were in a live period, and I kind of didn't want to hear the defense talking trash to me for running in because they can't tackle me. And so I threw the ball, but, I mean, you just got to play your game. Play the game how it's supposed to be played. Don't try to force something in because they can't tackle you. And it's just something I have to learn from, and hopefully in the game I just run it in pretty easy.
Do you feel like you would have done that had this been a...
Yeah, that's the first thing I said when I came to the sidelines. I would have just ran it in, but they said, "Well, then do it. Don't trade bad habits." And so for me, I just got to keep working on just running in, knowing they can't really tackle me. But at the same time, that was the play that needed to be made on that one.
You had a couple other picks today. You correcting the mistakes you're making on some of these? Do you feel like?
Yeah, the one play the play was messed up because I called the play bad in the huddle, so I called the wrong play. We didn't run the right routes because I called the wrong play, and then I made the play worse. And so for me, being able to get in and out of the huddle, call the right plays, and then not making a bad play worse is something that I got to keep getting better at. And then the other interception was on the offside, so I was just trying to throw the ball and not take a sack on the offsides. And so we were able to move the chains and get a touchdown on that drive.
But he threw 3 interceptions today!
Bum!
3 picks! You can't be in the league and throw 3 picks in a training camp session.
Imagine if it was a real game.
Except for one of them was on a play that if it wasn't a real game, he would have just run it in for an easy touchdown.
But there's still 2 more.
And then the second one that we can talk about here was on a free play. Which means that it literally would not have counted in an NFL football game.
But he still threw another interception!
And then that one he called the play wrong. That one kind of counts.
Ha-ha!
A I feel like I'm taking crazy pills. This is where the narrative of things like this can be so infuriating. If you're predisposed to think that Patrick Mahomes is going to come in and throw a butt ton of picks, then today is just a dream for you. Today you are just, you are like Scrooge McDucking, like swimming through, duck, by that ducking, Scrooge McDuck is a character. And then the act of being Scrooge McDuck is Scrooge McDucking. I can understand if your radio cracked out, you may have wondered what exactly it was that I just said there. No need to hit the dump button or to cover the ears of the little kids. We're good. Scrooge McDuck. Ink. Here's the thing about this that drives me nuts. So the pick that he ran in, he made a perfectly fine point there saying, hey, you know what? When I got out of the sidelines, I told him I would run it in if it was a game. They said, so just do it. He didn't want to get razzed by the defense and decided he wanted to try to make a play with his arm when in a game he would have just run it in. He would have probably walked it in. And then the other one that we just mentioned was a free play, which is an important part of a quarterback's game in 2018. You draw the defense offside, you can drop back and do whatever you want. You go for broke. Throw the bomb. Take the throw that for deep that could be a touchdown, but it's through a tight window. If it gets batted down or picked off, you just pick up your 5 yards and you do the next play. If it's completed, it's six. That one does not worry me one bit. He knew that he drew the defense offsides, so he took the free play. Those interceptions don't even register. The third one does, but it's not for the reason that should terrify most people, or probably has terrified most people. An inaccurate Patrick Mahomes is worrisome, right? If he's reading defenses poorly, or if he's uncomfortable at an NFL speed, well, then, sure, you go, oh, man, I don't know, maybe this development's going to take a little while. But that one, he said he called the play wrong in the huddle. And that one, he does wear that one. That one does count. But it was by the language of the play. And sometimes I even wonder, whatever that is the thing that's called, I wonder if that's ever... less on the quarterback calling the wrong play and more on the receiver running the wrong route. But I'm going to take Mahomes' word for it. I'm going to give him that one. So he had three interceptions today. One would have been a rushing touchdown in an actual game. One would have been 5 yards for the offense on a defensive offsides in a real game. And one of them was on a missaid call, or maybe misheard, but we'll say missaid because that's what Mahomes said. Now, if he would have come out and said the receiver ran the wrong route, some of those same people who are backstroking through their hot takes today would probably still have crushed him for blaming his teammate. Whatever. That's all conjecture. I'll leave that alone for now. But like, I feel like I'm screaming into the void. Also, yesterday, he threw a pick to Justin Houston. And that's not for nothing. I think that there are a couple of reasons that explain that one. Not excuse that one. I'm excusing the one in the end zone and the free play win today. I'm explaining these other ones. Explaining the one that was a miscalled play. And I'll explain the one that he threw to, I think, Justin Houston, or at least it was somebody standing at linebacker. Because yesterday, holy cow, hold on, this might have been today. These have been some long days, you guys. Tom Martin from Channel 5 at one point tweeted, like 60% of Mahomes' interceptions I've seen have been to edge rushers. And I took that, and I think that's really interesting, because I think there are two possible options there that could explain why that is. Option one is that he's still learning how to deal with the athleticism and the awareness of NFL linebackers who can actually pick you off. You don't find that in the Big 12 very often. When your outside linebacker is in a certain position, you see him at that distance from your receiver, and you know you're good to go ahead and hit that guy in that vicinity. In the NFL, those windows shrink. Every window shrinks in the NFL. And so, partially, that's because you're recalibrating what an outside linebacker can do whenever he's dropping back in coverage. So there's a guy with good hands and extremely quick reaction times and great speed because he's an NFL linebacker. It's going to take Mahomes some learning to get that. And if he figures that out in training camp, then I feel pretty good about it. That's option one for why most of his picks have gone to guys in the outside linebacker spot, edge rusher spots. The second option is that Patrick Mahomes is purposely throwing some interceptions in camp, so we're pleasantly surprised whenever he throws for 40 touchdowns and no interceptions this NFL season. I think it could be either one of those. Just wants to give us something to throw us off, throw us off the scent, or learning how to deal with edge rushers in the NFL. Somebody tweeted me in response to that tweet. It made me very happy from KCMO Sports Fan. So this kind of balance is what we rely on you for. Excellent breakdown. And that made me very happy because I do feel like that's my brand. I feel like I gave you one legitimate reason for why Patrick Mahomes might be struggling whenever it comes to realizing the athleticism and really just why he's struggling in throwing interceptions to edge rushers. And then also a quick reminder that I'm pretty sure he's going to throw 40 touchdowns this year and no interceptions. Probably 5,000 or 6,000 yards. Could be 6,000 or 7,000 yards. It sort of depends on how much the Chiefs really lean into it.
Undefeated?
Never lost.
Shutouts every game.
16-0. They're going 16-0, winning every game 40-0.
Why stop at 40?
Because then after that, they bring in Chad Henne to just start taking knees.
And then they'll score 40 points that way.
You're right, 80-0. How could I be so foolish? So that's where I'm at. If you're losing your mind on some level because of Patrick Mahomes' interceptions, I mean, that's going to happen. But in fairness, I don't think most people have been. The point of this conversation is to inform you that there have not been three interception days from Patrick Mahomes. Today was not a three interception day. It was a one interception day. The other thing that is kind of infuriating to me is knowing that that is true and then seeing some of the responses. You can always tweet me at JB Briscoe and at the station at Sports Radio 810. And earlier, somebody tweeted out the story from the 810 account, and I get all those responses and everything. And the replies to that tweet made me want to just sink to the bottom of a swimming pool and never come back up. I just would like to be in a serene, silent place that maybe leads to my ultimate demise. Because the responses are saying, oh, the expectations are just unreasonable with Mahomes. The interceptions are coming. Slow down the hype train. Everybody just needs to go ahead and chill out. It's going to happen. And it drives me nuts because you're having this conversation right now in bleeping training camp. So if you really are going to take, let's say this was an actual three interception day, which it was not. If a bad day in training camp can actually have you reevaluating your expectations for your quarterback, then good God, what happens if he has a four touchdown day in training camp? Does your head explode? Do you just immediately fall unconscious and lay on the ground and twitch for a month? If you're going to freak out when it goes poorly, you got to freak out whenever it goes well, right? That's where I'm at with Patrick Mahomes. Not three picks.
The most powerful sports station in America has a home in Kansas City. This is Sports Radio 810 WHB.
Yeah, always let that music hit. Welcome back in the Chiefs Central on Sports Radio 810. I'm mad. I am annoyed by the idea that Patrick Mahomes is currently beset by early nerves. What does that mean? And then somebody responded. Somebody's up here in the mentions. Hold on, where'd he go? Come on, get back here. Get back here, you rookie, dot, dot, dot. Gonna be a long year, Chef fans. I guess I should have pronounced it Chef. But I'm going with Chef.
Who are the chefs?
I think Chef is a more accurate way of how he probably misspelled it by accident. Rookie, gonna be a long year. There are reasons that you can say that. There can be logic behind it. But please do your best to have a piece of logic at some point. Have something that trails you through this. Where you can point to this and say, hey, here is the thing that I consistently believe or assume or fear or trust or anything. But if you think that Patrick Mahomes is nervous in like the fifth or sixth day of training camp, why weren't you saying that whenever he was throwing touchdowns? If you think that a bad day of training camp is going to derail you, and it wasn't even a bad day of training camp! This is why my head is exploding. I know I'm doing Angry Nighttime Sports Radio, and that really, I don't like Angry Nighttime Sports Radio, but I am genuinely upset. Because it doesn't make sense. What you're concerned about here doesn't make sense. It wasn't actually a bad day, because again, in case you missed it earlier, he threw three picks, I put in giant air quotes. One of them was on a free play after he got the defense to jump off sides. One would have been a run straight into the end zone for a touchdown if it had been an actual game, but the defense can't hit him, so he said he wanted to throw it. And the third one, he called the wrong play. It ended up being a route that he wasn't expecting, and it ended up being picked off. So a pick, you can chalk up one pick to him, and it wasn't for gonna be a long year, Chef fans, sorts of reasons. But even if he just threw three picks today, there were nothing but Eric Berry watching his eyes and picking him off, which would be, in all honesty, a pretty bleepy way to go. That would be pretty frustrating and pretty worrisome. Even if that happened, which it didn't, even if that had happened, how much are you going to let a training camp day evolve your opinion in one day? And if it does, then go for it. If it does, roll out those spicy takes. But if he goes out the next day and throws three touchdowns and makes Eric Berry look bad, you'd better come back just as spicy the next day, and I'm pretty sure that you won't. I am uncharacteristically annoyed by you people. And I don't even know who you people are. Just guys in the mentions, I guess. It's ridiculous. I'm annoyed. Patrick Mahomes spoke to the media after camp today. We gave you a minute snippet of that. He talked for what, like seven or eight? And so he's got a bunch that he talked about today. Eventually, he discussed that snippet being asked about the not really three interception day, but he started off by explaining some of the intricacies of the process of this offense.
Yeah, I mean, within this offense, I mean, there's plays that are designed to run against certain coverages, and so and I don't know if they're necessarily any audible in him or Coach Reed pretty much calling them, and then me having to make the decision. And so I just kind of made the decision based on the rules that Coach Reed told me, and took the term, and the O-line blocked great, and we got a touchdown out of the play.
So is that a setup where Reed is giving you the options?
Exactly. He gives me the options in the play. We have rules based off coverage, based off different factors, and I saw it, was able to recognize those rules and got us into the right play, and then you give the playmakers and they make the plays for you.
Pat, I want to ask you about another play from early in practice. One that looked like you could have run it in, and McQuay ended up making the pick. Yeah. What did you see there, and why didn't you run it in?
Yeah, I mean, that was on me. I easily could have ran it in. We were in a live period, and I kind of didn't want to hear the defense talking trash to me for running in because they can't tackle me. And so I threw the ball, but, I mean, you just got to play your game. Play the game how it's supposed to be played. Don't try to force something in because they can't tackle you. And it's just something I have to learn from. And hopefully in the game, I just run it in pretty easy.
You feel like you would have done that had this been a...
Yeah, that's the first thing I said when I came to the sidelines. I would have just ran it in. But they said, well, then do it. Don't trade bad habits. And so for me, I just got to keep working on just running in, knowing they can't really tackle me, but at the same time, that was the play that needed to be made on that one.
You had a couple other picks today. Are you correcting the mistakes you're making on some of these, do you feel like?
Yeah, the one play, the play was messed up because I called the play bad in the huddle. So I called the wrong play. Didn't run the right routes because I called the wrong play, and then I made the play worse. And so for me, being able to get in and out of the huddle, call the right plays, and then not making a bad play worse is something that I got to keep getting better at. And then the other interception was on the offside, so I was just trying to throw the ball and not take a sack on the offsides. And so we were able to move the chains and get a touchdown on that drive.
Did your arm get hit on that one?
No, they wouldn't touch my arm. I mean, we were good with the guys and defense, so it was an offsides. They were rushing. They had a free rusher, and so I tried to just get the ball in my hand, put my receiver, try to make a play. I think I threw it to Kareem on a little seam route. They intercepted, but we had the free play, so we were able to move the chains and keep rolling.
With those interceptions, I mean, how much of it is stuff that you're doing, but at the same time, how much more improved is the defense from what you're seeing?
Yeah, I mean, definitely. We're doing a lot of stuff with the defense that's really good. A lot of different coverages, a lot of different mixing in the blitzes and when to drop people out. And so the defense is doing a lot of good stuff. At the same time, I have to eliminate those mistakes. It's something that, like I said before, can't even start the learning process. Hopefully I make those mistakes now and don't make them in the game. So I'm going to keep kind of learning from those and keep trying to grind through and get better every single day.
Now, one of the things Coach Reed's complimented you for is the short memory thing. When did you feel like you had a stronghold on that? Was it college or just early on, even prior to that?
I think probably college. Going in college when I'm playing in the spread offense, we were in a lot of high-scoring games, so if something didn't go your way, you know you'd have a chance to kind of get back out there and make a play. So I've always tried to have a quick memory. If I throw an interception, I try to bounce back. I think after the first interception, we bounced back, and I threw a touchdown to Tyreek. So, I mean, it's just something you try to know that and hope that your defense is going to make plays for you as well. You try not to put them in those situations where they're backed up and they're in the red zone of their red zone, but at the same time, they'll make plays for you, and then you have to go out there and kind of turn it over another leaf and make a play.
And how has it been working with Coach EB? Just, I know that's a little bit new this year. Just how's that dynamic been for you in progress?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's been awesome. I mean, he's someone who's very detailed. He's someone who really is good with the protections, good with pretty much every nuance of the offense, of the little details, which is something that I need to work on every single day. And so having him and being able to ask him questions is something that I've really tried to utilize as this camp's going on.
Can you talk about learning specifically from interceptions? What is through that process? Like, does it start as soon as you come to the sideline? Like, in the meeting room, you obviously got a position coach talking to the head coach. How's that working?
Yeah, I mean, it's everywhere. It's right when you come to the sideline, of course. I mean, you come to the sideline, you try to learn, talk to the coach what they saw, what you saw, and try to get on the same page so you don't make the same mistake. And then you get to the meeting room, you see it on film, and then you look and see where are the better options on the play. And then we actually meet with the receivers, quarterbacks, and running backs kind of all together and watch it all over again. And so there I can kind of explain what I was thinking to them. They can explain what they were thinking, and that's how you kind of get on the same page as
with the coaches. I mean, when you have, two different guys potentially, are they telling you different things? Are they focused on different things when talking about, like, mentoring?
I mean, not necessarily. I mean, we just try to get on the same page. That's the biggest thing. You want to make sure when Coach Reed calls the play and EB says it into me, I know exactly what he's thinking. I know exactly what he's thinking the defense is going to do. And if the defense does something different, I know what he would expect me to do. And so that's just, you try to get on the same page with everything that goes in this offense.
It's really leadership, though, because it's full on pads and starting to get longer at the camp. How much is your sort of role to encourage guys to pick guys up to be sort of that motivator for guys on the field?
Yeah, I mean, I think that comes with being on the offense as a group and kind of relationships with those guys. We have the pads, we went a little live today, we really kind of amped it up, and I mean, it's getting a little hotter out here than it's been. We've been kind of getting blessed with the cool weather, so just having those guys go in every single time. I think as a group, we kind of encourage each other and pick each other up. And so I feel like as practice went on, we were actually getting a little better as at the end of practice.
Pat, is this the hardest you've ever been coached? How would you describe sort of the process with the coaches compared to past seasons for you?
Yeah, I mean, they're throwing a lot at me. It's something that I'm learning every single day. I have to make sure I'm in my playbook every single day and really just doing whatever I can to be prepared for every single practice. And so, I mean, it's definitely, they're coaching me really, really hard. But I know at the same time, they're just trying to get the best out of me. And so it's been a great experience so far.
A couple more guys. If you had to describe what you guys are looking at and building right now as far as a brand of Chiefs offensive football, what would that sound like?
Yeah, I mean, we want to be someone that's going to attack you. We play fast. We get to the line of scrimmage fast. And so we want to make sure that we're on attack at all times. We don't want the defense trying to pressure us. We want to go at them.
Pat, you mentioned you thought about running that ball into the end zone. Is there any discussion or any thought process, any strategy right now as far as, you know, making sure that you do protect yourself and protect your body at this time of year, even a live practice like this or a preseason game?
There hasn't been any discussion so far about that. I mean, we're in training camp. They're not tackling me, so I really haven't had the chance to have them slide or do anything like that. But same, I mean, like that one, they pretty much told me to run the ball in there. We know they're not tackling you, but at the same time, you want to train good habits and just run in and score the touchdown.
Last one, Adam.
Pat, you're probably not going to play much in the game next week, but what expectations do you have for yourself?
I want to get out there and just be efficient. I want to go out there and try to score touchdowns or field goals. You want to not turn the ball over. You want to go out there and just really execute the offense, get in and out of the huddle, and move the...
It ended weird. It was like that earlier. That's Patrick Mahomes from camp today. I don't know what happened. I feel like we're missing one or two words from Patrick Mahomes at the end there. We can just assume that he said, and we're going to throw bombs and hit dingers. And there are a few things there that other than what we already talked about earlier about his three non-interceptions, one of them counting, but on a reason that you wouldn't have expected. A couple things in there that I think are interesting. A little bit of insight into the offense and how it works with Eric Bieniemy, who we'll hear from here in just a moment. But also, I liked the question of what is this offense? What's the brand of this offense going to be? How would you describe this iteration of the Chiefs offense? And he said, in several different phrases, he said the same thing. Play fast. Be aggressive. You attack the defense. Don't let them attack you. I love that. That's the direction that the NFL needs to be going offensively. Use your speed and your tempo and get the defense on its heels. Get more plays. Move the pace of the game along. Also, with the defense being as deep as it is right now, all the investments in the defense from the draft, even just looking at guys like Derek Nnadi and Xavier Williams, you can have some rotations that allows your defense to be thrown back out there pretty quickly. There'll be fatigue, of course. But I love a high-speed offense. And so there, Patrick Mahomes mentioned new offensive coordinator Eric Bieniemy. And he spoke also at training camp today. Here's what the new offensive coordinator had to say whenever he was talking out in St. Joe.
Justin,
Mike.
Hey,
Eric. Yes, sir. I know probably not going to play a lot, but what are your expectations for Pat in the first preseason game?
You know, our expectations are, hey, you know, we want to go out there, we want to perform, we want to see what we can do, we want to get in and out of the huddle, we want to have good tempo, we want to go out there, play some urgent football, be sharp and sound, and make sure that we can handle the little things that they may present to us.
How much of that's on Pat?
Well, I don't think it's just on Pat. It's basically, collectively, on all of us. Our job to make sure that we put together a great game plan for him, but also, too, players got to be held accountable. They got to go out there, execute with great attention to details, go out there and have some fun. This is what we do. Yeah, it's a game, but you know what? We get to do what we love.
How's his camp so far?
You know what? The camp has been good. I believe we're learning a lot together as a staff. We're learning a lot together collectively as a group. The only thing I just want to see is that we continue to compete. Every day is not going to be a perfect day. At the end of the day, I want to see if we understand what it takes to grind.
How's it been going for Pat?
It's been going good. You know what? I will say this. He had a few hiccups today, but that's a part of the process. When you're young, you need those hiccups because they become valuable lessons in life. And so, would we like for him to be perfect? Yes, we'd like for him to have the highest rating passer quarterback rating ever. But he just needs to be poised under pressure. He's doing a good job of getting the calls out. But at the end of the day, when something happens, don't worry about it. Let's play the next play.
Is he learning from these interceptions?
Oh, yes. Yes.
You're not seeing the same things?
Not at all. He even said, hey, I could have ran it. I said, listen, they all kind of look the same. You know what I mean? 6 points is 6 points. You can run it, go get it.
I mean, looking at those, how much of those interceptions is what he's doing, and how much of it is the defense improving so much?
Right. That's a part of it, too. Everybody seems to forget those guys on the other side of the ball get paid to play, too. And our defense is doing a heck of a job. But also, too, we have to be mindful. We have to take care of the football. We don't want turnovers, but we understand that, hey, things are going to happen. Let's learn from it. Let's keep it moving. And let's keep building as we go forward.
Eric, how do you describe or explain the communication between you sort of giving the play with the walkie-talkie to Pat, seeing how he handles the command of the huddle and relaying that information for each play?
It's been a good process. Obviously, as a coach, I've had a few hiccups too. I'm not perfect. I will say that. I always point that out to my guys, understanding that we're human. But at the end of the day, we're all putting in the same time and energy. We want to make sure that we're doing it the right way. So if I screw it up, hey, my job is to have Pat fix it. When Pat screws it up, it's my job to help Pat fix it. So we're working in cahoots together. But one thing, like I said, the translation has been very, very good. He does a good job of commanding the huddle. Now we just got to continue doing it and keep moving forward.
Eric, you talk about learning from things like interceptions. How does that process go? Does that start right as it comes off the field? Or that's more when you guys get in the meetings? How does that go?
I think it's a combination of everything because Pat has such a great recall. He can tell you what happened with coverage, and as soon as the ball is released, he can tell you exactly what was going on. So it's a quick learning process or a quick recall process for him during that moment. But then we get to sit down as a staff. Okay, let's talk through this. Let's talk about the coverage, all right? What are you thinking? How are you processing this, all right? And how can we improve upon that and not make this mistake again?
Is that with necessarily who is that?
Oh, it's with Mike, it's with all of us collectively in the meeting room, with Coach Reed, with myself. But we work together as a team.
A couple more guys.
Is everybody, like, are you guys each telling them different things, or is he getting the same thing, or something to different people?
One message. One mind. That's how we know.
Do you notice any rust on the guys after a day off, or did they come out sharp, refreshed from that day off?
Well, ideally, anytime you get a day off, you want your guys to be fresh. You want them to be sound. You want them to go out there and play with great energy. You know, sometimes you get the bear, sometimes the bear gets us. The only thing we can do is rebound and respond. We got tomorrow. We fired up about the next opportunity.
Eric, this is the most we've seen Kareem do in practice, just in terms of where he is right now, what you saw, full contact. How would you assess where Kareem is?
You know what? I think Kareem is right where he needs to be. Obviously, he had a few hiccups with last week with setback, but understanding this, Kareem is out there. We just want to get him back in the flow of things. Ease him in, make sure that he's not overdoing it, but also making sure he's doing it the right way. I thought he did a good job today.
Are there specific areas you're looking for him to grow this year?
Every year, you evaluate each player on a different level. Obviously, he did what he did last year. So now, the only thing that we want him to improve upon is making sure he understands it's all about the details. It's all about the little things. Today, he had an opportunity to make a simple catch. He has unbelievable hands. We know he can catch. But at the end of the day, focus on it. Look the ball into the hands. All the way into the catch. Tight tuck, catch it. Now let's get north and south. We took it for granted. You know, you just want to make sure that he understands. Each and every play is by far the most important.
Defenses are going to look at him a little differently this year. You know how that is for a running back. How's he going to handle that?
We just go play. We roll.
Last one, Pete.
Eric, you mentioned you had a few hiccups yourself. This is kind of a new camp for you as offensive coordinator. So just first, how's it been different for you? And then just secondly, how is Andy Reid handling you as almost a coach's coach now in that offensive coordinator role?
You know what? It's been good. First of all, I get to work with each and every position group. It's neat to go in there and watch the O-line work, get to sit with the quarterbacks primarily in the meetings, watch the receivers. I get to put my hands on everybody in a sense. So from that viewpoint, it's been a great learning experience. And on top of that, I'm enjoying it because all the different personalities, you see how they come together. Now, working with Coach Reed, obviously it's been a tremendous experience. Unbelievable, beautiful mind, football genius. And we just sit there and we talk about ball and all the different things that can present itself throughout the course of a week or throughout the course of a game. And I couldn't ask for a better situation to be in.
He's known to bring along several head coaches. Is that a good thing for you now in this position, thinking long term? I know you just got the job, but thinking long term.
Well, I'll just say this. The only thing I want to do is correct this tape, make sure we get the corrections right. We're going to move forward. We're going to come out here and work our tails off tomorrow.
Thanks, guys.
That's offensive coordinator Eric Bieniemy. You got to like Eric Bieniemy. He does. I wonder what his long-term aspirations are, because Andy Reid does turn offensive coordinators into head coaches. And I feel like he's got the attitude of a guy that you would trust to lead a whole team of guys. I don't know very much about his philosophy as far as like scheme and whatnot, but I'm guessing it's not very far off from Andy Reid's, because he's Andy Reid's offensive coordinator. And Andy Reid turns offensive coordinators into head coaches just like it's nobody's business. One other thing really quickly here, and we got to take a break. We'll come back and give you Cam Irving and David Amerson, two guys who have been really interesting in this camp. Eric Bieniemy was asked at the beginning what he expected from Pat Mahomes in the offense in this upcoming preseason game. And he said tempo, and he used the phrase urgent football. I just said it about the Patrick Mahomes quotes, what it is to build this brand of Chiefs offense. What is it going to look like? Tempo, urgent football. I love it. I'm so excited to see this offense hit the field. The preseason game, we'll start to give you a little bit of that. We will get a ton of mileage out of talking about that game, no question. But man, if I could skip ahead to the first game of the regular season right now, I would do it in a heartbeat. I like the training camp stuff. I will eat up the preseason games. I will be digging through talking about which Williams I think is going to be the Chiefs' third running back. But I'm so ready for week one. You're listening to Chiefs Central here on Sports Radio 810. I'm Josh Briscoe. Beards McFly is in, hitting all the buttons. And whenever we come back, we will hear from Cameron Irving and David Amerson, two guys who spoke today in St. Joe, and two guys who have been two of the most interesting kind of surprise stories from camp. We'll hear from both of them whenever we come back.
Kansas City's hometown sports station, Sports Radio 810 WHB.
Welcome back to Chiefs Central here on Sports Radio 810. I'm Josh Briscoe. Beers McFly is hitting all the buttons. If you have any questions, comments, feedback, whatever, you can always send it to me on Twitter at JB Briscoe. It's B-R-I-S-C-O. No E! Hashtag Briscoe, no E. Beards is at Beards McFly. You can also always tweet, obviously, at Sports Radio 810. If you do that, though, hashtag it with Chief Central so I know that you're talking to me. You can tweet at Sports Radio 810, hashtag it Chief Central. I'll get back to you either live on the show or on Twitter, whenever you get it. Also, these podcasts are always available at 810WHB.com. Additional programming, and you will find that also I tweet it. I'll tweet it from the 810 account. It'll be on the Facebook page. It'll be all over the place. So don't you worry. If you're just catching this, you're going, oh, man, but I wanted to hear Josh lose his mind a weird amount about Patrick Mahomes not actually throwing three interceptions today. Don't worry. It's all there on the podcast. Cameron Irving, not the guy that I thought we were going to find terribly interesting during Chiefs training camp, but he has been really interesting. He's worked in at center as Mitch Morse has been brought along, and he seems to be one of the guys who is legitimately on the table as far as a potential solution to the Chiefs' left guard problem. There are a handful of options there. Brian Witzman, Parker Anger, Cam Irving, all among them Ryan Hunter, probably on the outside looking in, Khalil McKenzie, drafted to play guard but not ready yet. But there are five names you need to know at that left guard position. And Cameron Irving is one of them that belongs there. Didn't expect it. Happily surprised by it. And feeling pretty good about what the expectation is and how the Chiefs seem to feel about Cam Irving. He spoke out at St. Joseph today. And I think it's just fascinating to see where he fits into this offense. Here's what he had to say to the media.
Cam, how's it going? Just give us a general camp assessment for you.
Oh, man, it's going well. Just trying to stack good days on top of good days and just work on the little things at left guard and, you know what I'm saying, wherever I'm asked to play.
Has this offseason been different for you in just terms of getting your body right and getting in physical shape?
Man, I take the same approach every year, you know, getting myself right. There's little tweaks that you make along the way every year, things that you learn in the NFL. And, you know what I'm saying, you change your routine a little bit, but, I mean, the hard work is always there.
Did you come in a lot lighter? Did you some talk about maybe dropping 20, 30 pounds?
Oh, no, I ain't dropped 20, 30 pounds, but I definitely came in a little lighter, wanted to lean up a little bit.
Was that something that you initiated, coach?
That's me, yeah.
Andy's been very crazy up here before your first season. You came in last year, offensive line assistant, and you played next to Zach Colson, and he was kind of that swing, kind of could do everything. How much did you learn from what Zach did last year, and is that sort of a goal that you want to be a part of this season?
I learned a lot from Zach as far as, you know, how he just slid from each position seamlessly and, you know, just knew the ins and outs of the offense. That comes with time, of course, but I definitely learned a lot from Zach as far as his approach to the game and just narrowing things down and trying not to think about it too much.
Do you think that you could, I mean, if you win the left guard spot, that's obviously great, but do you feel like you need to continue to work at other positions for such a case?
I mean, that's one of the things that makes me valuable is being able to be versatile. And you know, for a while I took it as a curse, but it's been a blessing to just be able to learn all the ins and outs of every position. And just, you know, over time, you know, now being able to just focus in on one thing a little bit more and, you know, go here or there if I'm needed. So, I mean, it's definitely been good to, you know, to be versatile. It took a while to learn how to be versatile, if that makes sense. I mean, I could go in and step in and do something, but now it's becoming a little bit more easy. Just being able to go in and execute the offense.
Can't be next to Colson and then seeing the deal that he was able to get from that versatility. Does that provide a little bit more motivation as well?
Man, I want to be great, and I wanted to be great since I got drafted. So, you know, being around Zach definitely made me want a little bit more because, you know, say his journey was definitely different, but. You know what I'm saying? I'm hungry to go get, you know what I'm saying, whatever. So, I mean, I'm just thinking about going out and just stacking good days on top of good days and, you know what I'm saying, what comes in the end or what comes later will come.
Being great, where do you think that comes from?
That's me.
That
I mean, like, that. My whole life I wanted to be great. I wanted to be the best at what I did and, you know, and now I have an opportunity to do that, so.
Is there some additional pressure that comes with somebody who was drafted in the first round?
Nope.
You want it?
I want it.
What did it take for you to sort of come to grips with that, not being a curse, but being a blessing,
like,
sort of change that mindset?
What did it take
to get there?
I mean, it just took time, man. I mean, the NFL's a crazy business, and not having time to be able to focus on one thing, you know what I'm saying, it makes your mind go to every little thing that could go wrong, every little thing that you have to think about when you just have to basically just get in there and play football and, you know, learning the offense and learning the ins and outs of an offense. Offense comes with time, and that's it.
You did change. Sometimes you have to talk about change of scenery. Helps with that. Did you feel like that helped you?
Definitely helped me. It was definitely a blessing to be where I was, but I mean, to be in the NFL is a blessing in itself. So, you know, it was definitely good for me to get a change of scenery and get here and get a fresh start.
You worked a lot with Patrick during the offseason program as the center, while Michigan recovery. So far in camp, what are your observations of the past, and where do you think he's improved the most, and where do you think you guys are sort of needed to improve as an offense as a whole?
I think Pat's doing a great job as far as, you know, just learning what he has to learn and just putting the offense in good positions and making the right calls. But the thing where I feel like he's done the best is just basically encouraging guys, even when he's down, where even when he doesn't have a great sequence of plays, he makes sure that he's pushing other guys to, you know, say, just get out here and just make it happen. You got to make it happen. And I feel like that's one of the things that's going to separate Pat from a lot of people. You know, it's all a learning process. Love playing ball wherever.
Your spot or a poor decision yet. Probably
with a guy like that. I mean, you can run for anybody in the league. You know, it's getting better every day, you know.
To have a nice training camp. I hope that he ends up being back from what I think a 7-10 camp tomorrow. Maybe Patrick Mahomes will actually throw 3 interceptions this time and I'll get to pick a different angle. Or maybe he'll throw 10 touchdowns tomorrow and I'll just be screaming at the top of my lungs for the entirety of the show. One way or another, though, thank you for hanging out with us here on Chiefs Central. Thanks, Beards McFly, for hitting all the buttons. I'm Josh Abrisco. We'll talk to you again tomorrow night here on Sports Radio 810.
Follow the Chiefs right here on your home for the NFL playoffs and the Super Bowl. Sports Radio 810 WHB.